Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us. God, we thank you for what you're going to do in these next few moments. And Father God, I pray that we come this morning with open hearts to hear you and to use it, Father, in our daily walks, in our lives. God, that we will be obedient to it. God, that we will do more than hear you today. We will practice what you place in our hearts and what you give us. Father God, I know so many times that we avoid things and avoid things you tell us. God, there's so many times we may feel ashamed of what's in our life and we feel like we can't come to you. But Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room today that feels that way, God, that you'll break that wall, that you'll break those chains, God, and help them see and understand the freedom of who you are. God, if we would just repent, confess, and come to you, God, you will clean us up. You will make us right. And Father God, you love us from now on, for eternity, unconditionally. So Father, today I pray that we hear you and we'll take what you give us and live it. Thank you for this moment. And God, we give you praise and glory for what you're going to do in it. In Jesus' name, amen. We are glad that you are here. Now, I don't know how to get started except to say that it's a mess in here. And we got a reason for all that. And sorry if it's offensive. All this, by the way, is clean trash. None of this we actually dug out of the garbage can. Okay, this is clean trash. So if you're sitting on something, except for back there in that corner, we just dumped a trash bag out over there. I'm just kidding. Everybody's worried now. Oh, my gosh, what am I sitting on? So anyway, we do have a purpose for this today. And if I get the title to the message, it'll be kind of self-explanatory. It's called Address the Mess. Now, would love to see a show of hands of like when you walked in this morning, have you ever experienced this, like other than walking into my own house, but have you ever experienced this like anywhere, like in a church? Your first thoughts and did anybody think that we'd been vandalized? You know, I had to get here before Mark got here this morning because Mark's a cleaner-upper. And I told my wife, I said, we got to go, darling, because if we don't soon get there, Mark's going to be picked everything up. And he'll mess up my son. Sharon's shaking. No, he wouldn't. So anyway, there is a purpose in this. You were an odd duck that you were a sinner, and they've made you feel like they wasn't and you were. That was a lie, okay? Because the one that told you that is a sinner as well, okay? We all have messes. We all have sin. We will have sin in our life. We will have sin in our life from now to the day that we close our eyes. The beautiful thing is about Jesus Christ and the beautiful thing is about what he does in our life. He cleans us up. It is a transformation. It is a day-by-day thing. You know, I was told one time, give your heart to Jesus and everything will be fine. Like, you know, you won't sin anymore. And the first time I caught myself or found myself in something I knew I shouldn't be doing, I just felt such shame. I just felt such shame. And like, anybody ever tried to be perfect? Jesus says, you're perfect because you're in me. But anybody on your own accord, on your own strength, ever tried to be perfect? Anyone? How frustrating is that? Because you can't, it's impossible, right? If you don't mess something up, people in your life will mess something up. You know, there's people who bring out the worst in us sometimes, right? And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said or shouldn't have done or shouldn't have thought. We're going to talk about some of that stuff today because when we talk about addressing the mess, y'all mind if I move this because I can't see half of y'all out there. Well, let's just throw it down. Okay, so, Miss Linda, I'm sorry. I hit you, darling. But anyway, let's just get rid of that. I want to talk about because what we don't think about a lot of times, we hide stuff, right? We hide stuff. I know I do. If we had zippers and we could look in each other's hearts and see a lot of stuff that's in there, no way. I never would have thought that was in them, you know, because we hide things well. We learn to do that. We're in a culture who gets very creative because you can't let anybody know. And let's just run through a few of them here. You can't let anybody know that you're having problems, right? You can't let anybody know that you're about to come unraveled because of a situation in your life. A lot of times it's because of shame. Who's ever felt so shameful you just like wanted to just hide somewhere? Anyone? Be honest. Absolutely. See, that's people. That's people. And one of the things I want to encourage you with and say, and this is not part of the message, but I want to encourage you with that, that's what God's body should be doing is understanding that messed up people, we're always dealing with messed up people. I'm messed up. You're messed up. But we need to love one another. There is things that need to be said, or times that things need to be said like, don't do that. Jesus told the adulterous woman, he asked, he said, where are your accusers? Remember the story? He said, where are your accusers? And all of them had dropped the rocks and walked off, and nobody was around. And she looks around, and she doesn't see anybody. And Jesus said, neither do I accuse you. But what did he tell her? He said, go. And I'm going to redneck this up for you just a little bit. He said, go. And don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. And we think, can it actually be that simple? And with Christ, it actually is. Just don't go and do that anymore. Now, of course, we could get into a whole other sermon here where you have to trust God for the strength because we know that we're not strong enough to defeat so many things in our life. And so back to the message now, I want to talk about what we hide in our heart because we hide sin in our heart. You know, I was going to start like this, and I didn't want to be offensive, but I'm going to go ahead and offend us anyway. We're all sinners. Every one of us sitting in this room this morning, we're all sinners. And I know that about you. And you know that about me. We're all sinners. Thank God for the grace and mercy through Christ, right? That makes us right. That brings us into righteousness because of His blood. So when I look at you and I look at me, we're all sinners. But I look at people who are following Christ, Christ's followers. Man, I'm thankful for His grace. But we all got something hidden in our heart. We tend to think of sins, we tend to think of like big things like, murder or robbery or, the visual things we see. A lot of times we don't think about the sin that is hidden in our heart that we can hide really well, because we don't want to, people to know that. And I'm not saying that we need to let people know just so we can let people know. I am saying that we need to make a progressive forward move in getting rid of the mess that's in our heart. Because a lot of times, this is the reason we did what we did here. I want you to get this visual. A lot of times, we will sit in our life and a part or a piece of our life looks like this. Now, for all you, I don't know what you call them, but clean people. Who wants to get up right now and pick this up? This is actually bothering you. And that is a great thing. You can't stand this. This really bugs you. And I wish that in my life and in your life that little stuff, that little trash pile that we have stuck away in our heart, that we felt like that. I gotta get up and pick this up. I don't want to sit in garbage anymore because I'll be honest with you. My wife, she has to stay on me to keep things picked up and cleaned up, and I'm getting better. She's been married to me for 28 years. I told her by 38 years I should be just about there. So I got another 10 years, maybe. But this even kind of bothers me. And our sin that's tucked away in our heart, a lot of times we'll look at the bigger things, but we don't pay attention to the little things. And I want to just address for just a second how Jesus viewed sin. How He viewed sin. And not these big, big sins, but how He viewed what we keep tucked away in our heart. We all want to change, right? If you are a follower of Christ, one of the things that you desire is to get better, to get more righteous, to get more like Christ. You desire to be more like Jesus if Jesus is your Savior. That's one of the things He'll begin to do. And so you're constantly looking, seeking, searching, repenting of, handing that to God to trash and get away and let Him replace it with what He wants to replace it with. You're constantly doing that. We want to be changed. We desire to be changed. One of the first things that began to happen to me when I came to know Christ is I had a, a really, really filthy mouth. I mean, it's like my vocabulary was about this tall. And I remember that God began to work on me. And, you know, at that time, we were in, or my dad was in construction, and I hated it. Oh, gosh, I hated it. Construction, and he made you go to work, and he paid you like a slave wage. You know, it's like he fed me, and you work, boy, because I feed you. You know, it's that kind of thing. And you hated it. You hated it. And I would say things and do things just out of anger. I was like an angry little kid. Anybody got angry little kids? Anybody been a little angry little kid? Wow. Good to be sitting in a group of perfect people. Anyway, so I would get angry and I would say things and I would do things. But God began to change me. And it was kind of a painful process. I did a lot of apologizing. But change does not happen. We don't ask God for change and it automatically happens. I'll prove this. Have you ever prayed at night for something, for God to change something in your life, and you woke up the next morning and automatically the circumstances were different? No, I haven't. If you have, let me know, because I'd like to know why and how. But no, you don't sit down and say, God, change that in me. Change that in me. And God says, okay. You know the next words God's going to say to you? Get up and trust me. You want change in your life? Be proactive. If you want change in your life, quit talking that way. If you want change in your life, quit lying to them. If you want change in your life, fill that form out honestly. If you want change in your life, then be proactive. Do the thing that you want to happen. Start doing that. God, I want to be more honest. Well, start being honest, and I will give you the strength, the courage to be honest. I'll give you everything you need to be honest. You listen to me, you follow me, you trust me, I'll give that to you. But I'm not going to pour it into you and you sit still and you automatically stand up and be what you want to be. God says you get up and you move. God's really big on us trusting Him. God never just pours it out and says, oh, well, there it is. Would you agree? And this is one thing I appreciate about my parents, you know, as tough as they could be sometimes. They never gave me anything. They never, like, gave me any. Well, they gave me meals, so let me not lie. I was fed three times a day, and they were great. They were good parents. They kept me sheltered. They kept me clothed. But I remember when I wanted a vehicle. Anybody at age in here now, you wanting your first vehicle? Tough. I just want to play with you a minute. You're not even old enough to drive yet, man. So anyway, I wanted my first vehicle. My dad said, okay. He said, I'll tell you how you get it. So I'm like, I got to hear this, you know. Get you a job. Get you a job. You want something to drive? You get you a job. So I went and got me a job. You want to see God move, then get up and move. Be in what He's promised you. If you live in the promises that God has promised you, you trust Him and you're obedient to His Word. God will place in you and put in you what He wants in you. Remember that too. He's making you brand new. Back to the sermon. I don't know why I need to preach this, but anyway. We hide those little things in our heart, and I want to show you how Jesus viewed sin. Go ahead and put up 1 John 3:15. We think about the big sins, but here's how Jesus, and this just kind of freaks me out every time I start thinking about what's in my life, because I noticed as everybody walked in this morning, nobody walked in that door when someone said good morning. You didn't say, fine, you know. You wasn't mean. He said, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. We got a whole room full of people that is doing great, and that's awesome. I mean, that is really, really great. But what do we typically do in front of people? Don't raise your hand on this because I don't want to embarrass you or anything. But how many of us walked in here? I'm going to raise my hand because I got one, but you don't have to. How many of us walked in here this morning and we're in a struggle? You didn't listen. Yeah. A lot of us could do that, right? We're just in a struggle. There's something. There's something that nags at us. There's some little something in you that you'll be okay for a little bit, and then all of a sudden there's like this tap on the shoulder. Oh, remember this. There's that little something hidden in your heart. And you're too embarrassed to take it to God. You're too afraid that He's going to, like, oh, you're out of here. Or you're too afraid to confide in a Christian brother or sister with it, because that could be dangerous too. You're too afraid. So you just tote it around. You just tote it around. And it's killing you. It's killing you because your happy moments get robbed by this little thing. Your joy in life will get robbed by this little thing. And Jesus will tell us, get rid of that. But if not, no buts or ifs, I don't care if everybody in the world knows. Get rid of it. You need to be set free of it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of how Jesus thinks about sin. He says, and this is pretty stiff here, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. So I told you a while ago we think about those big sins like a murderer. Jesus said, I'll go one further than that. He said, if there's hate in your heart for a brother or sister, now this is Jesus speaking. This isn't Danny's thought. I didn't come up with this. This is Jesus, Savior of the world, King of kings and Lord of lords. This is Him saying this. He said, if I have hatred in my heart towards a brother or sister, He said, is really a murderer at heart. That stings, doesn't it? Think about it. Meditate on that. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Have you ever, I don't know how you guys read Scripture, but when I read a verse like that, I tend to back away from it and begin to think about the magnitude of that particular verse. And then I get to thinking about how I live my life. Is there anyone in my life? Is there a brother or sister in my life that has just teetotally ticked me off? They're idiots. And I respond in a way with this hatred in my heart, like I want nothing else to do. By the way, I've been there. I've been there. You know how difficult it can be for someone who you had trusted to now unload a world of distrust in, because of what they did or what they said. Hatred comes easy. But then I go back and I think about, now Jesus, I am your follower. I belong to you. How is it I am supposed to respond? He said, well, I can tell you it's not hate. I can be disappointed. I can even be upset. He even tells me in His Bible that I can even be angry for a moment. But He even says, don't let anger. Don't go to bed, remember? Don't let the sun go down. Don't let anger grab hold of you. He knows that anger will come. How many of us in here get angry once a week? Let's just do the once a weekers. Okay. Yeah. It comes. He said, but don't let the sun set. Meaning that in a very short time, you need to resolve that. How many of you in here have a problem with forgiveness when somebody's just run you over? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. And so what tends to happen is we will tuck that away, those kind of things in our heart. And Jesus said, it's a sin. In other words, He says, it affects you. It will affect you. This little trash pile that you're living in will affect you. Let me ask you a question. If this was your house and you came in every day and none of this ever got cleaned up, who would live in this mess? You come in and sit in here from day after day and like, something's got to be done. Something's got to happen. Would this be depressing to you? I mean, I know with my wife, she had four little boys she raised, me being one of them, She had four boys in her house, and boys just don't pick up stuff. Ladies, you want to vouch for that? Boys just don't pick stuff up. God made us that way. You need to get over it. I'm just kidding. I'm going out the back door this morning. Anyway, I'm just kidding, okay? But it's what guys tend to do. It's what they tend to do. But my wife would come in from work. Bless her heart. Oh, God bless. She'd come in from work. She said, have the pigs moved in? Yeah, I can't live like this. And she begins to clean. And, we do the gracious thing and lift our feet for her, which is totally not you need to get up. And I've learned that if you like to eat. But anyway, you can't stand it. You can't stand it. Why is it that the sin in our heart isn't that way? Because unforgiveness, well, you know they done me wrong. And let me tell you something about forgiving. You can be the total victim. You can be the complete victim. But if you were a follower of Christ, you should never withhold forgiveness. Does that mean that you tell them to jump right back in your life and let them do that? No. No. But you can't withhold forgiveness because it will affect you. I know great people who have become angry and bitter over the years because something happened and they never, ever sought forgiveness. Never, ever sought forgiveness. It's a sin. It's a sin to hold that in our hearts. And Jesus says, not a sin. I got you now. I'm going to get you because you won't turn it loose. God would say to us, He would say, I want you to turn it loose because I want you to be free. I don't want that. But, and can I just say something that might make you feel better? And, you know, this is just my words, okay? Jesus would tell you, I'll deal with them. I'll deal with them. We don't want God to deal with them. We won't deal with them. God can deal with them a whole lot better. And don't go out here saying, oh, yeah, that's a new one. God, you deal with them. Here's something that will set you free. First, forgive. And then ask God to work in their life. Here's one that will free up the heart. You can try. Ask God to bless them. So I just want you to understand where our heart should be. It's about Christ. It's not about them. You're going to have people mess with you and mess you up all your life. You're going to have people like that. We live in a broken world. My thing is, they must be messing people up for a reason. God, draw them to you so they can see you. You want a free heart? Begin to genuinely pray for people who mess you up. I know that's crazy, and that's not even in my nature. My nature is to beat the dog snot out of them and hope they get the message. That's not the way God says handle it. Matthew 5:27, dealing with the stuff that's tucked in our heart. You have heard that the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, and this is Jesus, this is just another sin. Guys, and I want to really address the guys, women listen too, but I really want to address the guys. He says, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, television. You can't watch a Dairy Queen commercial without having pornography in it. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? That's intentional, by the way. And here's what Jesus says to us. Hey, guys, while you're looking at that, you're not watching the ice cream cone. We know that. While you're looking at that, you're lusting. You're sinning. But I haven't touched her. You don't have to. You've already committed that in your heart. How many online pornography watchers do we have that would never stand up and say, oh, I've done that? It's shameful, right? But we keep that tucked away, but it keeps impacting people. It affects their marriage. It affects their relationships. It affects them, their thinking. It begins to really mess up their thinking about a human being and what a human being is. It will cause them to think thoughts that devalue and degrade women constantly. It messes with you. And that's the reason Jesus says, hey guys, it ain't just a physical act. It's not just a physical act. I'm telling you that if you have this in your heart, you have sinned. But see, we can keep that tucked away because nobody's at our house with us on our computer. Or now on our phone. We think we can keep that tucked away, but you can't. It's a mess, and it's a little compartment. I'll tell you a story, because churchgoers, here's how I know that there's churchgoers that look at pornography, because I had a guy about 5 or 6 years ago walk up on my porch, blew me away, just totally blew me away. This guy, I still respect him. This guy I respected, just thought the world of. I mean, you know, he looked like the model follower of Christ. But let me tell you just a little testimony of his trash pile. He walks up one day and he's got this blank look on his face. He said, "I want to hand you my computer." I said, "I can't take your computer." "No, you don't understand. I'm not like giving you a computer. I need you to take this from me." He said, "I have taken it and I have had it cleaned," and my heart just dropped. Because I knew where he was going. I knew where he was going. Heart just dropped. He said, "I can't stop looking at pornography." And he said, "My wife, they're to the place now, my wife's threatened to leave, take my kids." He said, "This has been going on," and get this, I had known this guy for probably 4 or 5 years before this. This had been going on the entire time I knew him. Never knew it. Never knew it. When I was with him and we were around women, I never paid attention that he, you know, I never knew it. He had it tucked away in his heart. And thank God that finally God himself brought him to a place of breaking. And he broke him. He said, "Take this from me." He said, I can't be around a computer. He said, "I never thought I'd see the day that I couldn't trust myself." Well, the Bible tells you, man, that you can deceive yourself. And that if you ain't constantly following Christ and seeking after him, you can deceive yourself. So I took his computer. It was clean. And by the way, guys, if you even have one inkling of danger of this happening, always have your wife sit down with you. Because I'll tell you another story. We were given a home computer one time. A nice home computer. And, you know, I learned how to plug it in and I could cut it on, and that was about the limit of it. So we were on there, and you know how pages come up, you know, or whatever. I was on there, and I have no clue. Thankfully, Cindy's like right in the kitchen. I'm punching stuff on, and bam, there it is. It comes up on the computer. And I'm like, "Oh!" So Cindy comes in there, and she gets to dealing with it, and even she's about to throw up. And so finally, I just jerked the plug out of the wall. I just jerked the plug out of the wall. I take it, throw it away. Throw it away. It's just really horrible. So we had a guy take it and clean it. And he came back and he told us, he said, "Man, I don't know who gave you that computer. Don't need to know. But as a pastor, you need to go talk with him." He said, "I have seen computers loaded with pornography." He said, "But this one was packed." And I knew the guy. Went to church with the guy. Never knew it. Never knew it. See, we learn how to hide things. And we'll sit around in a trash pile just like this. And we won't do anything about it. And it makes us miserable. We hate it. It robs us, you know. You can't even get cozy in here this morning, could you? I mean, you can't even get comfortable because you're looking. Some of you wondered, is that toilet paper actually used? You know, some of you are wondering where the trash came from. And you can't even settle down because it is constantly looking at you. It is constantly screaming out to you, you know, do something. It robs us. It robs us. One more. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is a sin, is like cancer on the bones." James 3:16 says, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfishness, selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." I could go on and on with the sins that the Bible mentions and what they do. What they do. You know, I've had people draw in really close to me, pretend to be a friend, and just take full advantage of that. man, that stings. That hurts. And you'll get angry about it. And for me, anger is a big issue. I my fuse is longer now. And it's probably because I get older and I just don't have the strength to get mad like I used to. But anger is a big issue. You kind of bowl me over and I get upset and I think all kind of bad things. Like, yeah, I'll pray for them. You know, anybody ever had that attitude? God says that stuff's wrong. Don't hold this in your heart. So let's talk about just for a minute what gets us from this place. Because we want to clean up the trash, right? Anybody got a trash pile in your heart this morning? You want to clean that up. You want to be set free. And God does an amazing thing. Man, God comes in. He cleans all this up. He steams, cleans the carpet. He don't just halfway do it. Man, when he cleans it, you know God's been there. He does a complete cleaning job. So let's talk about one. Actually, I got three things I want to share with you. What you need to listen to, what you need to do to clean up the trash piles in your life. First of all, the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in you. He is your informer. He is your guide. He's the one that will take you down the road. You listen to him. You listen to him. First, a little illustration from the Bible. Think about the difference, and just got a few notes here. Think about the difference the Holy Spirit can make as he demonstrated in the life of Peter, who before being filled with the Holy Spirit denied Jesus three times. Remember this now. Peter was the guy that was with Jesus that he told Jesus not too far back before Jesus was crucified. He said, Jesus, I'd die for you. In fact, he's the one that said, Jesus, when I asked Peter who he was, Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus even told Peter, he said, you didn't come to that on your own. God showed you that. God revealed it. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. Peter knew this was the Son of God. Well, on the night that Jesus was in the garden, this was his final night before the trial and all, the night that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus gets to talking all this death stuff. He's praying. He's trying to keep them awake. They can't even stay awake. They're falling asleep. He's telling them, be awake. It's coming. You need to stay awake. You need to be alert. And then, here comes the soldiers, and Peter's talking about, I'll die for you. I'll give my life for you. And, I mean, he was, like, emphatic. I would have believed him. If I would have been John or Thomas, if I'd have been one of the disciples standing there next to Peter, Jesus, I think he means it. I think he means it. And yet Jesus knew, he said, I tell you what, Peter, before the rooster crows three times tomorrow morning, before he crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no way, no way. Jesus said, yes, you will. I want to teach you or show you this morning the difference that the Holy Spirit, when we listen to the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in us. If you want to clean up trash piles in your life, you listen to what God instructs you through his Spirit. Because that was Peter before the cross, before the resurrection. Here's Peter afterwards. He says he would follow him to his death, but after being filled with the Spirit, he spoke openly and strongly to the Jews at Pentecost. Remember that sermon? Like the first sermon? Peter stood up to the very people that could have crucified him. He stood up to the very crowd that put Jesus to death. He stood up and he just told it like it was. He was fearless. Had no fear of death. Had no fear of nothing. He just went. There was nothing lacking about Peter that day when he presented the gospel. What the Holy Spirit will do, Peter didn't get up and preach this message on his own accord. Peter got up because God, through his Spirit, told Peter, go and preach this to the Jews. And he preached it, holding nothing back. And at the end of his message, they asked him, what should we do? And Peter said boldly, he didn't say, well, y'all need to think about all the stuff y'all been doing. He didn't say that. And Peter didn't say, y'all need to try to straighten your life up. He didn't say that. Peter said, repent. Turn from your ways, repent, and be saved. And he didn't hold this back. the difference that the Holy Spirit can make in our lives, and the reason I want to share this with you is because there is trash in our lives. And we keep saying or making bold statements, one day I'll clean that up, one day I'll do this, or whatever, one day, and we don't do anything. But the difference that the leading of God would tell you through the Holy Spirit is today to get rid of the trash, to repent of the sin. We all have sin in our life. Not one of us came into this building this morning sin-free. The Bible tells me that. There's things that we hide in our heart that is causing all kinds of problems. Some, maybe not as much as others, because we get creative in how to hide something, don't we? You know, it peeks its head and we'll stomp it right back down. But Danny, you don't know the shame that would... Let me ask you something. Wouldn't 20 minutes or 2 years worth of shame be worth being set free? I mean, if you had a disease, maybe that's not the best illustration, but I'm going to try to roll with it here. Maybe if you had some kind of disease and you were ashamed that you had the disease, which would be kind of odd, but you didn't want anybody to know. And some people's like that. They don't want anybody to know that they're sick. And you know, maybe you had a disease and somebody could come to you and say, hey, that can be cured, but you're going to have to go public. That can be cured, but you're going to have to admit. Would you get rid of the disease? I would. I would admit, hey man, I'm frail, I'm weak, and that's just what it is. But if confessing that will change that, then I'll confess it. And I know that's a weak illustration. But why would we leave this in our heart? Because the Holy Spirit tells us, how many times has a voice, I'm talking to the believers, the followers of Christ, how many times have you heard a voice or have you felt a tugging or whatever you want to call it? How many times have you felt the urge, the need to do something about that thing that's tucked away in your heart? We get that, right? Anybody ever had, and Mark, I'm just going to share your story here. Mark was in, and if I mess it up, you can come up here and you can talk about it. But Mark, what, had a argument 20 years prior or something like that. And there was this guy, and Mark will tell you, and I think this is a perfect example, man. He will tell you that this thing bothered him. It bothered him. And he was living, I mean, I never knew this. Mark would come in, how you doing, Mark? I'm doing good. And Mark has no problems. Mark's problem free. You know, Mark's living this life out. And then he tells me one day, he said, hey man, I got to tell you something happened was it a grocery store? I got to tell you something just happened at the grocery store. This just happened. I said, what happened, Mark? Turned milk over? No, you know, what happened? He said, man, I ran into a guy that I had ill words with, or, you know, we hadn't had an argument and things were said and there was destructive things said. And so as Mark's telling the story, he's like, you know, I just went up to him and told him I was very sorry. I was very sorry. For a lot of years, that was tucked away in this man's heart. And he will tell you, in fact, he ran through it this morning with me. He told me, he said, the freedom, the release that happened in my life when I said, you know, that. He didn't even make mention that the other guy jumped for joy or the other guy said it was about time. He didn't mention nothing about what the other guy did. He just knew that he wanted to be set free from this. He wanted to clean up that trash pile in his life. The trash pile had got to where it's like, I'm just done with this. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. But, and you know, the enemy's going to tell you, well, there's the shame, there's the, you know, the humiliation. He's going to begin to list things that's going to happen. It's not a big deal. That's minor stuff. You want to turn loose of what's in your heart, repent. Repent. It's just what Peter taught. Repent. Turn from what you're doing. Confess. Say, I'm that. I was that. I sinned. It was wrong. God, I beg for your forgiveness. You know, God, heal me. Release the trash. Get rid of it. So the Holy Spirit, follow His promptings. He speaks to us. People think, you know, when you're talking about God saying things to you, I've never heard an audible voice from God. Maybe y'all have. That's awesome. Never heard an audible voice from God. But I have had promptings and probings from the Holy Spirit, no doubt. The Holy Spirit has caused me to turn around and go back to a gas station and talk to somebody. The Holy Spirit has caused me to turn around and pick up someone on the side of the road. The Holy Spirit has caused me to look at somebody for 10 minutes and like, I really don't want to go talk to them. Anybody ever had that happen to you? But the Holy Spirit, I'm like, God, you're going to have to give me the strength and the words. Because this would be the last person on the face of the earth that I would want to talk to today. And yet you go, and when you walk away, it's like, well, what was the big deal? What was the big deal? So listen to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Word of God. Here at Immerse Church, our motto is, if we ever have bumper stickers printed up, it's going to say, Immerse Church, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is full of instructions on how to get rid of the trash piles in your life. It is an instructive. Can you go to 2 Timothy, please? He says that God has given us the Word to equip us for every good work. Can you find 2 Timothy? There we go. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and what, and to make us realize what is wrong. I like that. Here's what the Word of God does. It lays out truth. This is what's true. The Holy Spirit, that guy I was just talking about, the Holy Spirit makes sense of Scripture. Here's what people get mad. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ, people get frustrated with me when I say this. God may reveal a little here and there, but when people tell me that, I've picked up the Bible and tried to read it, I just can't make sense of it, and you won't. You won't. God, I think, brings you to pick up His Word, but to make sense, to understand Scripture, the key ingredient is knowing Christ. That's the key ingredient, to know Christ, to have the Spirit of God in you, because after all, the Holy Spirit is our translator. He tells us what it means. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture and you're like, I get that. I understand. It wasn't you that understood it. It was the Holy Spirit of God giving you the understanding of that passage. And he says, it is useful to teach what is true. Truth will kill garbage piles. If you sat there and if we were in here, would we all agree this morning that this is a mess? That's truth, right? You doggone straight, this is a mess. That's the truth. That's been revealed. He says, truth, and to make us realize what's wrong. Doing this was wrong. I'm going to realize that when I start picking all this up. Doing this was wrong. He helps us realize what's wrong, right from wrong, in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It teaches us to do what is right. Go read Psalm 119. It's a long chapter, but it's well worth it. Read Hebrews 4:12. Write these down and take them home and read them. I ain't got time to read all these scriptures, so I want you to take this home and read your Bible. The Bible is a resource that we often treat lightly. I love this. This is an article I pulled up. We treat too lightly. So many times we give token service to the Bible by carrying it to church. Or reading a daily devotional or a chapter a day, but we fail to memorize it, meditate on it, or apply it to our life. We fail to confess the sins it reveals in our life, or praise God for the gifts it reveals to us. When it comes to the Bible, we often are either, and I love this analogy, we're often either anorexic or bulimic. Now listen to what he says. We either take in just enough to keep us alive spiritually by eating a little from the Word, but never ingesting enough to be healthy and thriving followers. Or we come to feed often, but we never meditated on it long enough to get spiritual nutrition. That's a good analogy. Some of us read just enough scripture because some of us feel guilty if we don't read a scripture a day. At one time in my life, I wanted something really bad. And you know what you do if you want something from God, right? You start doing God stuff. If you want God to give you something, you start doing God stuff. So I'll never forget, and I'm going to tell you the blessing He gave me. I was dating a girl that I really thought was going to be my wife. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, thank God that didn't happen. But anyway, I was dating a girl, really, really thought she was the one, really wanted to marry her. So, now, because I'm going to have a wedding anyway, and weddings are usually in a church, I need to get a little closer to God, because God don't want me coming to His church if I ain't really close to Him, right? So anyway, I start reading the Bible, and I figure a chapter a day should get her to be mine. You know, God, a chapter a day should get me a wife, right? So anyway, I begin to read a chapter a day, and I was feeling like I was pretty spiritual. You know, didn't know how to do anything it said, but I was reading a chapter a day, and then that wasn't working. I didn't see a whole lot here, so I started reading two chapters a day, and I'm like, oh, God, what do I have to do? Read a whole book? You know, and then I get to thinking, is she really worth it? Because I hate to read, and, you know, all these things. All these kind of things. And you begin to kind of think, but what I've done, I took in just enough that I think that would benefit me, because God likes it when you read His Word. That is nowhere even true. Any of y'all in here today read a chapter a day just to make God happy? God's going, what God desires is for you to follow, to trust, to believe, to put His Word into practice. It's not enough to read it. I've told you in this church before. I've told you how many times. If you read the Bible just to be in good with God, then it's just words. The Bible is just words. The Bible doesn't become living to you until you start practicing it. When you start trusting what it says, when you start putting into practice the words of Scripture, then life begins to happen. You begin to experience the life of God. In fact, the calling of God for me to be saved probably stemmed from, without a doubt, because some of them times when I was reading the Bible, I would read things like, hand your life over to me, surrender your life. Those were some things I read that I think God used to draw me to Himself. So it was beneficial. So if you're not a follower of Christ, I encourage you to read the whole book every day. You know? And I'd even encourage you to try to prove it wrong every day and see what God does with that. But we don't want to ingest too many times. We think in terms like that. If I read a little bit, then God will bless me. It doesn't work that way at all. At all. You need to take in God's Word. Guys, I go in there. I don't know how many of y'all pray before you read God's Word, but I always pray, God, I'm expecting You to show me something. God, I'm going into Your Word with an expectancy. I'm not going into Your Word just to read. God, I have walked into the throne room. God, I have walked into Your presence. When I open Your Bible, God, I have walked into who You are. God, I have opened up Your heart. So God, I know because I am Your child, You desire to show me something. So God, reveal what that is. Now, I can't tell you that I get up every time and like, yep, I figured, I learned, you know. Sometimes God will cause me to wrestle with some things. He ever have you wrestle over Scripture? Boy, isn't that fun? When you like, oh! You know, have you ever read the Bible and you try to read another book and God brings you back to the same book and chapter? Like you can't stay away from it? It's like you now have this magnetic thing in you that draws you over there to 1 Corinthians or whatever. That's great. Read it 100 times. Pray over it. Meditate on it. One of the things that will help you get the trash piles cleaned up in your life is the encouragement and truthfulness of Scripture. It will encourage you to pick it up, to clean it up, to remove that sin, to repent of it. He's not dragging us along this line, transforming us, you know, like you would on an assembly line. We are transformed when we respond to the promises of God. When we respond to the promises of God, we are then transformed. He reveals things to us. And last but not least, number 3 is fellowship. Fellowship. We talk about small groups. And guys, I'm just encouraging you to be a part of groups. It's going to be different than it ever has been before. Something brand spanking new that I never thought of, but this is going to be great. But you need each other. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other, and I love it. And just another testimony came to my mind. A lady that came here, she has passed now, but a lady that came here, I love so much going and talking with her at times and seeing her on Sunday. She was so honest and so blunt. Loved Jesus. But I would ask her at the front steps at church on Sunday morning, I said, well, how'd your day go? She said, like crap. She said, but I'm here and I'm feeling pretty good. You know, love that. That we can be like that with each other. That we can encourage each other. Man, I've been a part of a church where everybody's doing well. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are sick. Some of you are just carrying a trash pile in your heart. Like, if they only knew, if there was one person that I could share this with, that I could just unload it and experience some freedom. I want some freedom. So God tells us, this is how you remove the trash piles. Trust the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible. There's instruction in there to tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. There's instruction in God's Word. And then there's people that God puts in your life. He will use in your life. I have had the rare privilege of just a handful of people in my life that I trust enough that I can sit down with and I can be so bluntly honest. I mean, I can literally bleed my problem out on the table. And they're okay with that. And what I love about them, sometimes instruction will come, and sometimes they'll be like, dude, that's messed up. And that's enough. But I know they care. It takes fellowship. You got to have each other. You can't live in this world by, well, you can try to live in this world by yourself, but you're going to be miserable. I want a people that I can come up to and say, guys, this really bothers me. This is what's hurting me. And you guys would say, well, let's pray. Let's talk about that. Or one of you stand up and say, you know, just a year ago I was right there, and this is what God did. We need each other. So, address the mess. Whew. Whether we want to admit it or not, we have this in our heart. What God will do for you and with you is clean this up if you are willing to turn loose of it. You ever heard the term that God never snatches anything out of your hands? I don't believe God ever jerks anything out of your hands. God's not going to come and for lack of, hopefully you'll understand, He's not going to come in the garage of your heart and walk around you and pick something up and tote it out. He wants you to want to get rid of it. He wants you to desire, God, I don't want that anymore, because it's not of you. It's bringing nothing that even glorifies you or magnifies you in my life. God, this is putting a damper. This is putting a hurt. This is robbing me of joy and impactfulness in other people. God, this is taking away. So God, remove this. And He'll gladly bend over and pick it up and take it out of your life. But you got to turn it loose. So whatever that trash pile is in your life this morning, whatever that thing is, we're just going to stand up for a minute. And I'm going to give you some silent time to ask God. First of all, some of you may be been hiding the trash pile so long that the bushes has grown up in front of it, and you done forgot that you got a trash pile. All you know is you got some misery in your life, and you can't, why does that always bother me? Or why does that always come to my mind at this point in time? Why is that? You may have that, but I'm gonna give us some time this morning just to ask God, is there a trash pile in my life? And be prepared for Him to, sure is. And then ask Him, God, take this from me. Surrender it to Him. Turn it loose. Let it go. And let God restore that area of your life. and transform it into what He desires it to be. So let's stand up for just a second. I'm going to give you just a minute, and then I'm going to pray. And I don't know where Justin went, but anyway, if he's in here, we'll get him back in just a little bit. So a moment of silence. Let's just ask God to search your heart. Father God, I thank You for being the great restorer of life. God, I want to just pray for each one of us in this room this morning that the first thing You would do is remove any shame, God, of what we're dealing with or what's in our hearts. God, I ask You to remove any shame. God, that the enemy would have no foothold in what You desire to do at all in cleaning us up. Father, that we will so deeply desire freedom from that thing or those things, God, that continually press on us, God, and cause us all kind of just frustration, God. It's constantly got us under His thumb. God, I pray that we will release that in repentance this morning. God, that we will turn it loose. God, we will confess it to You. And God is so instructed by You that we will find a brother or sister and just unload it to get rid of it, to get it out of our life. God, we ask You to come in. God, and I know this sometimes can be really painful and really hurtful. So God, would You give us comfort? Would You give us the strength? Say, there it is. God, there's people in this room that may have had things tucked away for years. God, as You reveal, God, and bring understanding to them that it needs to be gotten rid of, that God, You will take that mess. You will take it, do away with it, and God, that they can experience Your freedom. Because God, ultimate freedom comes when we surrender to You. And when we say the word surrender, it is a surrender to trust You. God, to trust You to redeem us and to restore us. God, to trust You to remove anything that's not of You. God, to clean our hearts. God, I also pray that as we go throughout this week, God, that we will continue to ask You, is there anything else? Father, is there anything else? God, as we read Your word this week, I pray that in and through that, You will reveal to us what needs to go. God, I'm praying that throughout this week, we will live in the mindset of repentance. God, to be set free from those things that doesn't bring You glory. To be set free from those things, God, that rob us of joy. Father, I pray that we, God, open our hearts to You to have Your way and Your will in us. Thank You, Father, for being my Redeemer, for being my Transformer, for being my Father. May all glory and honor go to You. In Jesus' name. Amen.